Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's in that other box. His name is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Dude, I went to work yesterday, and I don't like that at all anymore.
Nope. I can't do it. Office. It's dusty, and I don't like it.
Just envisioning a 9-to-5, 40 hours a week, that has to change. I think if life gets back to some semblance of normalcy, that has to go away. Forever, because
yes,
I felt my body was going through like withdrawal. Like, you can't, this is weird, you can't do this anymore. It seems, this feels wrong. This is wrong.
It took 4 months of not doing it to realize, oh, this is why I'm miserable,
right?
This is why I was terrible. Joining us this week is Edwin Jack, the founder of Bare Hand and project creator of Seed, a 4-player co-op combat farming. Combat farming game. Now, don't worry, we're going to explain what that is very shortly. Edwin, welcome to the show. Eddie,
yo,
Edwin,
yo.
Ed, whatever we're going to call you. We're going to call you everything under the book, all of it.
Ed and Eddie, baby. We up in here, all three of us.
Hey, kid, you got a quarter?
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Of course.
I'm amazing. I'm blessed.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Podcast, just like Eddie over here, this is an interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story, whether it be a artist, a programmer, a creator from the ground up, a voice actor, it doesn't matter. You all have a story to tell, and we want to be the platform for you to do so. This show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and also it posts as a video format on youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And if you like what you hear right now, we also do a gaming news show on this very same channel. You don't have to go anywhere else. So if you want to check that out, please, please hit that subscribe button and hit that thumb up thing if you're watching the YouTube. And, you know, leave a comment and tell all your friends, your family, hide your kids, hide your wife. All right. Now, Edwin, Jack, Seed. You're doing it. You're doing the thing.
Yeah.
I want to start it off with, because this is, like, I think the most important thing about Seed. Start us off by pitching. What is Seed? Tell all the listeners out there.
All right. So a lot of people wonder what combat farming is. Well, in combat farming, you pretty much defeat your opponents or defeat life forms, and those life forms burst into seeds, transforming into vegetation that supports you in battle.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's 4 players. Mm-hmm. Is this local and multiplayer? Is it just local? Like, or how are you?
Yeah. The primary vision that we have, or the final vision that we have, will be online co-op.
Okay.
And then possibly in the future, PvP multiplayer, but we want to focus on the 4-player co-op campaign first.
Cool. So the idea here is that these seeds, you plant them and they become the vegetation that vegetation that helps you fight these monsters. Now, I got kind of, it's almost kind of like a Plants vs. Zombies vibe as far as like the plants helping you. Like they seem to come, there's different types of plants that end up, you end up planting and stuff like that. Oh, sorry, that's my work phone. I forgot I returned to work this week, so I forgot to mute that. Can you talk about how that mechanic works in the game?
Yes. So basically, when you defeat a monster, the monster will burst and then become seeds, and the seeds that drop, it'll grow, you know, depending on the monster, the tier, or the strength of the monster, it'll grow, you know, grass, or it'll grow a flower, or it'll grow a tree if it's a huge life form. And so basically what happens is that what grows from that, it right now the game, the design of the game is that there are these sprouts, and you run to the sprout, you take your little boys, which are little creatures, and they run to the sprout and they nurture it. But we are switching the design into a more combat heavy action RPG format.
Okay.
Where each character will have, you know, skills, abilities, their own custom loadout, items that are equipped. And basically, what you have equipped will determine what will grow in battle. And that's the direction that we're headed in. The design right now, like the demo that people have played at PAX and whatnot, and in other events that we've been to, it has a tower defense element.
Sure.
From the sprouts, when you nurture the sprouts with the little boys, they grow into a turret that will shoot at enemies or that will drop health. We're still going to have those elements in the game, but it's not going to be, it's going to be more so 10% or 5% of those tower defense elements and more 90% of just heavy combat from, you know, action RPG type format. The plants moving forward in the future will provide stat buffs,
okay,
cool, and things for your characters to make their combat even more fun.
Why the change? I'm sorry, Andy. I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Why the change from the nurturing aspect to the more combat heavy action RPG?
So the changes to, you know, there were a lot of things that we were thinking about, like, you know, customization of, you know, your character, and because when people played, they were like, oh, like, is this all I can do? And, you know, they would punch something, you know. Basically, Steph has a punch, he can dive, and he can, you know, shoot seeds from a little bush on his shoulders. And, you know, we've had a number of people ask us that, like, oh, will he have more abilities? Will he, you know, will he level up in the game? And so, and then I've sat down with some, like, developer friends, people in the industry I've known for years. I've sat down with some friends who are very, like, they're blunt to say. They're super blunt, you know, transparent. Like, bro, they'll say, bro, this sucks. Like, they'll tell me straight up.
Wow.
Yeah, like, but I had one of my friends, he said, bro, this is bad. He's like, you know, he said, it's kind of like a half booty tower defense and a half booty action RPG. You got to choose one. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, let me hear more of your thoughts. And he was explaining, and I was like, that makes sense. You know, sometimes you go to conventions, people don't want to hurt your feelings, so they'll be like, oh, this is cool, you know, and then they'll walk off. But then if you're like, hey, would you drop 20, 30 bucks on this right now? They'd probably be like, you know,
right.
So that's why we're still going to have that in there. There'll still be the nurturing. The attacks that the characters have will also nurture. It won't be, it won't be like taken out. The nurturing will still be there. Some attacks will, you know, do more damage, less nurturing. Some attacks will do more nurturing, but less damage.
Cool. All right, Andy, go ahead.
Right. I just wanted to ask, like, how did you arrive at this whole farming portion of the game? Because again, it feels like as a third person combat game, it looks like a lot of fun, and it runs pretty, it's pretty slick by the art style and the graphics. Where did this whole farming idea sort of sprout from?
How did it germinate?
Oh, we see what you did there. Oh, we
like puns.
Oh,
and we're the worst, baby. Also,
okay, I got you. All right, so truth be told, I, you know, was going through so many of, like, paper prototypes, you know, thing, you know, when the first program on the project, my buddy, my brother, Nick Biondi, shout out to you, bro. I love you, bro. So we started coding and jumping in Unity and prototyping, and it was just like, man, we are not, it's just nothing stuck, really. And my aunt, man, my aunt was sick. She got sick around this time. And I went back to my mother's house to help her. My aunt had cancer. I'm chilling, you know, helping auntie, bringing her food and stuff. I'm chilling. I said, auntie. Now, my auntie's not a gamer. I said, auntie, I'm making this game. And the story is going to be powerful. I said, I have the key points of the story in my head. And the main character, I have key personality traits of the character in my head. I told her I wanted to base the character off of somebody in the Bible, in the Holy Bible. A lot of my faith and my foundation comes from my faith in Christ and my faith in the Creator. And so I told her, I said, I want to base it off somebody in the Bible. She was like, oh, read Genesis and read about Joseph. So I was like, all right, bet. I start reading about Joseph and I'm like, yo, this person aligns with all of the characteristics that I want for our main character. So when I read about Joseph, I found out he was a farmer. So I was like, interesting. Okay. And then, so that's why our main character's name is Seth. It's short for Joseph.
Mm.
And so, boom, I said, all right, well, if Joseph was a farmer, I said, I want to connect that in the game somehow with gameplay. But every farming game that I've played or I've seen, the farming is either tedious or, you know, it's not, you know, I'm a huge action fan, like action games. And, you know, I've grown up playing action games with my friends, co-op games and stuff like that. I said, what if we can combine that? Because that's already what we were headed into. And we were trying to find a unique mechanic to go with action because there's thousands of action games out, right?
Right.
What's going to set us apart from everybody else, you know, especially a new company with their first game?
Right.
So I said, yo, we're going to figure out how to combine the farming in. And it's like, well, why not have the action complement the farming and the farming complement the action? And just churn the monsters into the plants, and turn the creatures into the plants. And so, you know, we prototyped and, you know, Nick prototyped something and he actually did something in a game jam too. And then from there, you know, we just started combining all these ideas and boom, there it was.
You know, we've heard a lot of guests on the show talk about inspiration, like playing old school games or just things that come from a game jam. Mm-hmm. But this is a first, divinely inspired. It's pretty insane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, you know,
that's pretty wild.
First and foremost, man, that's my foundation. That's our company's foundation. You know, our faith, that is the core of our company. And, you know, a lot of our values and principles are based off of that. So, but yes, that is what the game founded off of is that.
Listen, just don't make it like Bible Tales. It's going to be a great game.
You want to avoid that.
Trust me. We do not want to. We want to make something that we would play, you know, and I don't like Bible Tales or a lot of the Bible games or whatever. This is not like a quote unquote, like Christian or like, you know, only for this fan. No, this is for everybody. This is just our foundation and we're just expressing ourselves and our art through it. But when you look at Seed, you would never think that like, oh, that's where it started from, you know, because we want to build like the universes like Marvel and stuff. Like Chris Carter, our concept artist, he's like, man, I want to build my own Marvel. He's like, I want to build. He's like, you know, they're doing stuff and they, you know, they had their run, but it's time for some new cats to come in and change the game. And, you know, he's like, yo, let's do that. Like, let's build these powerful characters that people get to know and love. And, you know, so yeah,
it sounds
a little ambitious.
It's ambitious, but if you look at the character designs in themselves, like they're simple, there's something about them that's very charming, innately magnetic about the designs. They're very like the biggest companies in the world when they make their quote unquote mascot characters, right? Like you look at Sony. And the most recent one you could think of really is Sackboy. And those are the kind of vibes I got here. Is like it's cute, it's endearing, but it also is magnetic and drawing and powerful and expressive, very expressive. The characters seem to come very expressive. So like if this thing could hit where it needs to hit, I think you have from a design standpoint, from just a simple world building design standpoint, I think it bleeds through the paper, as it were. Like you could see that this was the motivation here, is like, no. These characters are going to be recognizable because of their the way they're designed, the way you can market them, the way you look at them in the eyes, and the expression that you feel, the connection that you feel. Like when I was taking a look at the Kickstarter campaign, you're like, the first thing you think you look at it, you're like, oh shit, that's really cute. That looks beautiful. That looks like something that would be on TV. That looks like a cartoon, and like they're making this game of this cartoon. You know, and it feels like that must have been intentional at this point. Like when you say
absolutely
take that over, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My background's in animation. That's what I was doing in the industry before I started Bare Hand. I was a 3D animator on projects on AAA and indie.
Got it.
And you know, I've always loved the animation in games and in film and in television. That's what started my, I'm like, oh man, look at like Cloud do this crazy, like Omni Slash. Look at like, you know, oh, freaking Batman the animated series, look at the Ninja Turtles and X-Men. And I'm like, yo, that looks dope. And I wanted to make that. I wanted to create characters that were relatable and you could connect to, and you see them doing cool stuff. So yes, that's had all of that stuff in mind.
So what put you on the path to game development, aside from seeing animation that got you more into that realm? What made you switch into from animation to full-blown game design?
Well, I knew, the thing is, I went to school for game art and design bachelor's. Mm. The focus in that was animation. Mm. Because I always knew that, you know, I wanted to do animation for games. Mm. So, you know, even when I was like in middle school and in high school, I'm like, I want to make my own games. Like, I always knew that as a kid.
That's like all of us growing up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's freaking cool, man. Like, making video games like that, you know, and you rarely like meet people who are actually like making it and doing it, and like, you know, and I said, man, I want to do that, but like, you know, I didn't know exactly the path to that. And of course, you know, what's everyone talking about in high school, your senior year, college. And I was just like, oh, I'm gonna go to college and I'm gonna learn, you know, game development, which I think there are multiple ways to obtain the education, especially now. You don't necessarily, you know, I'm not knocking college is it works for a lot of people, but there are other resources out there to get sick at game dev. And but that's what I did. I went to college and I went through the 4 years of craziness and got my bachelor's and, you know, the base foundation principles of game development. And yeah.
So growing up, you know, you're playing games. Did you play a lot of co-op games? Did that have any sort of influence on why this game is a beautiful little four-player co-op? I mean, that screams to me multi-tap and Nintendo 64. That's what that screams to me. It's like, is that where we grew up right now? Did we grow up on that little boomerang thing that you plug into that PlayStation?
That's definitely where we grew up. And hold on.
You mentioned the boomerang. How could you?
You can't forget, though. You can't forget the Dreamcast, man. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
I got it right
there. That system was one of the, you know, man, dude, that game has to be four-player games that I can name that I have fun with. Like, yes, that's pretty much, yeah.
It's like Power Stone, baby. That was my life.
Yes.
You know, like that's what it was for me. Like, if I was ever to make a game, like even when Andy and I are pitching games to each other, or like or when we're talking to our like our dev friends and we're like, you know, this is an idea we had, like it's always co-op, always. And cuz like I grew up on games like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and for me,
ooh, classic.
Gauntlet Legends. Like, Gauntlet Legends was huge.
Classic.
Was TMNT, like oh my god, like the list. X-Men Legends and, you know, ooh, all those games, like growing up
the X-Men arcade in general, the Simpsons arcade.
Yeah, the Simpsons arcade.
X-Men arcade. Oh.
Like growing up on there, and now you're starting to see as the pages are turning into 2020 and beyond, you're seeing all of us kids that grew up in that time are resurrecting this thing where all you got for the last, I don't know, 15 years, like, was single player or shooting each other in the face. That's what we got. We got shooting each other in the face, and we got single player games. Like,
those are still good.
They're still good. Everything else went away, if you notice. Like, everything else kind of went away. And then there's the indie 100%. Renaissance, and now the AAA sphere is like, oh, wait, that's right. people like playing together, and now we got Destiny. Now we got, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 finally. Now we're getting Marvel's Avengers. Like, you're starting to see this renaissance of this genre. So like, and I really do think it's thanks to this generation coming up and really starting to like, no, we have internet now. Like, we can do this where we don't, 30 somethings can still want to play together just because they're not kids, you know, 10 years old in their summer vacation. Like, we still want to play together. And I think that's really important. And I'm so happy you said online, because I got nobody, man. I got my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, and my wife doesn't play games. Like,
kids aren't old enough just yet. Need some more time.
Yeah. I gotta plug in. And I have to start them off right. I'm gonna plug in that NES Classic. That's how I'm gonna start them off. I'm gonna say, here's, you walk to the right and you press jump. That's it. Good luck. Pat him on his head and call daddy when you need help.
Yeah, man. Nah, I agree with you. You know, which is why we wanted to, you know, stand out. Man, like that's huge for us. We want to do stuff different. And, you know, we was like, man, combat farming, dude, like 4-player combat farming, like just hearing that, you're like, what? So, you know, that, yeah, I agree. Like, a lot, there's a lot of shooters, there's a lot of FPSs, multiplayer, you know, and while I do like playing those games and I have a good time with those games, I like variety. I'm like, all right, I'm tired of shooting people in the face, like you said. What's something else I can do? Can we do something else? Like, you know, and I think Seed is, you know, a part of that equation, you know, to provide that. So, yeah.
So does it have like sort of a, because obviously you're turning this darkness, you're turning these monsters, this dark energy almost into life. Is that sort of the story? Is the story here taking something that might be dark and scary and kind of bringing light to it? Like almost like recycling?
Try to make sure I don't spoil nothing.
Yeah, it just seems like, all right, just set up the universe for us. What is this, the universe in Seed? What's happening to this world without getting into what you're going to do to change it?
All right, so basically, you know, the story, the premise is that the planet has been cracked. It's been cracked because Seth's brothers, they got jealous of him. And his father was blessing Seth because he's like, yo, man, you've been handling yours, you know, you've been listening to the values and the principles and stuff. Like, yo, I'm gonna bless you, man. I'm gonna bless you for doing that. And they was like, what? But we're older. And they got mad. So his brothers are giants and they got upset and cracked the planet. And so after that, now you have these different, the brothers are different factions. And they all have their ideal of how the planet is going to, you know, reestablish itself, build civilization. And so Seth is in the middle of all of that. And he's basically trying to connect them because they're his family. He's trying to connect them. At the same time, he's trying to say, look, like, we can't like do things where there's only two factions that are able to survive. We have to do something for everybody to survive. And right now our planet has no food. It has no plants. And so, you know, he has his vision of how, you know, everything could come together, and it's using his plants. And so that's basically, if I could sum it up, that's basically the story of it. Whether, you know, so when you see like in the trailer, you see him slam that seed in the ground and that big root grow off into, you know, the distance and connect to like into an environment. Mm. That's him trying to connect the broken planet pieces back together to hopefully by the end of the game, hopefully pull the planet back together. But this also allows different factions to be able to travel from one region to the other. And so he plays a big role into like just kind of the reestablishing what's going on and whether he's going to choose to go with an ideal of one of his brothers. There'll be about 5 ideals from each one. One ideal from each of the 5 brothers, and he'll be able to decide, okay, do I want to go with this? Do I want to go with that? Or do I want to go with my own? Or, you know, do I want to go with an ideal of no ideals? And so that's basically what's going on in the game, if that makes sense.
Do you see like branching paths or multiple endings based on how you decide things in the game, like the choices you make?
That we have definitely, the development team, we have spoken about that, and it's all based on the capacity and what resources we have. Mm-hmm. But we do know that the brothers, the individual brothers in terms of the story, they will have their own ideal. And when you get into their faction or their region, when you get there and you know, you're seeing what's going on there based on their ideal. Like, I'll just give an example. And this is not in the game, but you may have somebody who's like, hey, everything needs to turn into bubblegum. And then, you know, a world of bubblegum, different flavors, like, but you have to be flexible like gum. And then you go there and everything's gum, and the people are gum, the mountains are gum, and you're like, wow, what's going on here? But then it's like, there's no rock hard foundation, so everything's kind of squishy. And so you're trying to figure out, like, yo, like, is this good or is this bad? Does this work? Can we live like this? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is something that we've talked about, and, you know, which is part of the reason why we're on Kickstarter right now. You know, we're trying to gather the resources to complete the 4-player co-op campaign. But, you know, say things take off in the future, like people are like, yo, man, you know, more fans is coming in. Yo, I want to see different endings. Mm. Then, you know, and people are like, yeah, well, I'll pre-order the game. Like, if, you know, you guys do that, like, all right, cool. We got the resources to do it. We'll do it.
What the co-op is, it everybody's kind of starts at the same time? Are you taking a character that has progressed in some way and joining somebody else's game? Is it just us four play together, or is it press start and you jump in? Like, how does that mechanic work? How do you envision that mechanic working?
Well, to start off, so there'll be, you know, one player will have to be Seth.
Okay.
Because of the story. The three other players, they'll be playing with different characters that are a part of the story.
Okay.
And basically the way the game works is that if you kind of think of like games like League of Legends, where every round, like, you're starting with, you know, fresh start, and then you get your items and stuff and you come strong throughout the round. It kind of has a format like that, because we want to create something that gives people the freedom to be able to jump in, jump out.
Okay.
Without feeling like they're left behind because they're level one and this person's level 200. And so we're designing a game. We're like, okay, how can we do that? And how can we also, like, for the players that spend their time in the game, like, you know, it'll probably be more item and loadout based, where it's like, oh, you know, you have these type of things and this is what will grow because you have this equipped. So that's the format we're going with.
Cool. Now, we haven't mentioned yet, there's a whole money earning aspect to this game as well that we can discuss. I was watching a few videos on this, and I'm sure, Steven, if you look up our YouTube history, you might see the search "blockchain for dummies." That wasn't me, in case you were wondering.
Sure.
So if you want to go into that a little bit, that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah. Man, yo, I tell you, man, this is. I think this is revolutionary. I think it's powerful, because one word that makes a lot of people cringe when it comes to games is microtransactions.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh man, nah, dude, what is this, pay to win? Like, you know, oh, you know, I don't, you know, people are like, nah, like, I'm not with that. Like, somebody asked me, oh, is it pay to win? I'm like, no, steer away from that. This is not that. Okay. But this is basically flipping it. It's the opposite. It's peer-to-peer transactions. It's peer-to-peer, you know, based on the items. Some, you know, a lot of the MMORPGs and stuff out there, they have that implemented, right? But it's with the in-game currency, you know.
Right.
And basically players can spend their USD or whatever their in country they're in to get more in-game currency to buy items from players, right?
Right.
This is different. This is, you know, the items have cryptocurrency inside of them, which is money, basically. And that money, cryptocurrency, is already being spent for everyday purchases in different countries, you know, for flights, all type of stuff. And we're basically saying, yo, what Uber did, you know, Uber, they took something that was only available for like taxi drivers or, you know, car transportation services, you know, limousines, all that. And they decentralized it. They made it so that any person with a car could slap a sticker on their car that says Uber and go out and make some money.
Unless you're in California.
Yeah, ripped.
unless you're in California. But I tell you, I drove Uber, and I still drive Uber. Well, I'm not saying still drive, but I'm still registered to drive, and I drove Uber to fund this game. I drove Uber to pay for 3D assets. I drove Uber to get us to conventions. I did that. And, you know, that showed me like, wow, what if they never made this? Like, you know, a lot of people in our world will still be trying to figure out how they're going to get money. You know, a lot of people have benefited from it. And that's in a nutshell, that's decentralization. Mm-hmm. We're doing the same thing, but with items in our game. We said, look, the developers, we make the items, but you can sell it. And not only that, but the items, you'll be able to increase or decrease the stats or whatever and make them more unique so they're more valuable.
Hmm.
And so that's basically in a nutshell, like what that is and why it's important.
How does that translate to real money? Like how, like when you think of like Diablo has the real money auction house, I think it's Diablo that has that. Like you have, you know, you could use real money, get somebody's item, or even you can trade in your virtual like little cards that you earn in Steam. You could trade those to other people for real money. Like, oh, this one's worth 16 cents. This one's, so how are you actually attaching real life monetary value to the in-game items?
Cryptocurrency is real money.
Well, what, like,
if you think of it like stock, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, you can buy a stock and then you can sell that stock, right? So,
right.
You know, the cryptocurrency is put, it's called minting. The cryptocurrency is put inside of the items. Every item.
Oh, interesting. So are you like hooking up with a cryptocurrency? Like, I'm very dumb when it comes to this stuff, but like, whoever creates the cryptocurrency, or are you yourself creating that cryptocurrency? Like, where does the value of the cryptocurrency come from that it then gets baked into this item?
So we're working with we're powered by Engine, and Engine is a platform that they have built SDKs for Unity, and they, you know, they founded this coin basically. So we're using that. We're using that coin. And they have all the tools and programs and stuff for us as game developers to, you know, make the transition to smoothly put that into items and whatnot. They have a wallet, like just like a Venmo or Cash App.
Yeah.
You download on your phone. When you get an item in game, it'll also be in your phone.
Hmm. Oh,
and,
interesting.
Yeah. And so, that's how we're, you know, the coin, like I said, the coin is called Engine Coin. And the value of that coin will pick up or decrease based on, you know, how it's moving and what, you know, gamers are getting involved. Right now, people are still trying to grasp the concept of it. But I guarantee that this is, I'm telling you, when people understand, like, oh, you know, oh, okay, that's what that is. Because a lot of people are still kind of skeptical about it. And I was too. But then when I sat down and listened to it and I researched it, I was like, oh my God. Like, this is freaking amazing. This is decentralization. The game industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Like, more gamers should be able to get opportunity from that. So, yeah, that's you know, that's basically what that is and what we're doing. You know, with those items.
is the marketplace for which the players are going to trade and interact with those items strictly in game, or is that something that's going to happen off game? Like you said, it goes in your phone. Is that something that you can do that has nothing to do with seed, or is it always just the items and you're trading these items and then you can?
It'll be both. Okay. So right now, with our capacity, what's going to happen is that it's going to start off where people will just get the items. They won't be able to sell or trade on the game until we as a company have the capacity to do that, because we want to make sure that it's secure and that people aren't getting, you know, ripped off and stuff. Right now, Engine, you know, through the tools and stuff, then the app that on the phone, that stuff is secure. They've already established that. They've put the hours and the team into that. That stuff is established. So we feel more safe using that first until us as a company can make it in game, peer-to-peer marketplace pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that all sounds great. As long as the focus is still on making a fun action game.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. That's just, you know, that's a bonus, like I said, you know, I like to say, because it's, you know, it not only is you playing something that's fun, but then you're like, wait a minute, I could have an income stream from
make this. $1 million now.
Yeah. While doing what I love.
Speaking of making money, this your current Kickstarter campaign, this is the second go at the Kickstarter campaign. Last one was, I think, a couple years ago, right?
It was November 2017 is when we started it.
So what kind of lessons can you take from your first Kickstarter campaign, and which ones did you, or what did you apply in those lessons to your new campaign?
I think the most important thing for me right now is connection. Hmm. Connection. Like, even though that campaign did not reach funding, I met so many people through that. Hmm. I've connected with so many new fans, people who never knew about Seed. And I was like, wow, like, you know, that's what boosted us to even get to PAX. Like, we're like, wow, people really want to see something. Like, can we do this? But even though we didn't make the camp, like the funding goal, like I said, I had to drive. I had to borrow money. You know, there was some family that was very generous to help us out too, and get a demo, you know, somewhat of a demo. So that's what I say, connection is the key word. And the second thing is my health.
Interesting.
My health, because I don't know if you've spoken to a lot of Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaign.
We've had several.
You know, it's stressful. It's stressful. You're looking at the numbers every day. You're trying to reach out to as much people as you can. You know, you're it's every day you're trying to stay on top of this thing. And then it's like, you know, you'll feel pressured. Then if it's not looking good, like the last campaign, things weren't looking good in terms of reaching the numbers. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, what do we do? Like, and if this fails, like, oh my gosh. Like, and you know, this time I'm just like, dude, you know, chill. Like, yo, chill out, man. Whatever's going to happen, bro, it's going to happen. You know, you already know how passionate and driven you are. Like, your project's going to get done, man. You know, if you die from stress, it's not going to get finished, you know? So I'm like, yo, my health is priority, you know, and I got to make sure I'm good, you know, throughout the camp. So that's what I learned from the last one. And now I'm definitely more relaxed. I'm more, you know, grounded and, you know, trying to enjoy my life more. At that time, I didn't go out. I didn't, you know, enjoy anything much. I played a little bit of games, but 24/7, my mind was like game, Kickstarter. Now, you know, I'll go for a swim in a lake somewhere. I'll go outside, do some martial arts. I'll work out. I'll take care of myself.
Yeah. Listen, you're talking to two guys who have a podcast that releases two episodes a week, a YouTube channel. Steven streams on his own. So numbers are a big part of our life. It's hard to disconnect from that. And again, it's, you always got to take care of yourself first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And the numbers will come. I mean, as long as, I mean, gaining a following from what many could look like a failure is, that's a huge success at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting, oh, yeah. like getting a fan base and then pushing forward. And you seem like you were one ambitious motherfucker, and you're incredibly driven at that.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, I really do appreciate that. And I have to give credit to my teammates too. You know, my teammates put a lot of hours, free time. You know what I mean? All of them, you know, they believe in the vision, and they've, I mean, some of them got kids, you know what I mean? Some of them, you know, transition between when they were in transition between jobs and didn't have, weren't making income where they could be spending time applying for stuff. They were working on the game. So them too, man, like, you know, I probably would not still be working on this thing if they were not a part of this.
Awesome.
I think that's a good place to end that, the serious stuff.
Yeah. It's time to get a little silly, all right? Folks, it's time for everybody's favorite segment. Everybody's favorite segment. Each and every one of you, it's your favorite segment. And I know it. It's time to get into some rapid fire, Andy. Rapid fire. Let's stretch it out. Take a sip of your water and clear your mind, because, boy, things are going to get a little dumb in here. All right.
Get a little spicy.
We're going to get a little spicy. We're going to start with one of our favorite questions to ask. It's something we've asked almost all of our guests. Okay. Actually, we have. We have asked all of our guests. We're going to start. It's a simple, simple yes or no question.
Okay.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
All right.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Flight.
Okay.
Would you rather be able to go back in time anywhere to any time, or to instantly teleport to anywhere in current time?
Instantly. Hold on.
Time travel back and forth.
Time travel.
You can't go from present to future, but you could go from present to past and then back.
Dang, man, there's so many people I want to meet. Dang, but then I could meet, you know what, I'm gonna go with instantly teleport anywhere.
That's fair. That's fair.
If and when you purchase your first yacht, what would you call it?
What would I call it? I will call it the Final Beam.
All right. All right.
If you got punched into a bunch of seeds, what plant would grow out of you?
Oh, I will grow into a cocoa tree.
Nice.
Yeah, cocoa.
What supply in your house is running low right now?
What supply is running low?
What do you need to go shopping for?
Chia seeds.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking that at all.
Yeah.
the usual toilet paper, milk, eggs. No, chia seeds. Right. Cool. Is cereal a soup?
Oh, man. Is cereal a soup? No, it's not. I'm a cereal fanatic. I'm a cereal head, man. That's one thing I know about. I'm a cereal head.
Well, then, if you could only eat one cereal for the rest of your life and no other, which one would that be?
One that's out, or one that's like, oh,
listen, if it was back in the day, no longer a thing, discontinued,
gosh,
we called you due to poisoning or health reasons.
I probably have cavities that I've gotten filled because of this cereal, but I don't care. I loved it, and it's the original, not the one they got now, but the original Waffle Crisp.
Oh, okay,
Waffle Crisp,
yes.
Yes. Ooh, the baby. Original Waffle Crisp.
Oh, baby. No,
Everyone used to say when I got on the bus as a kid, like, someone had pancakes this morning? I'm like,
no.
That's the waffle, Chris.
That's my molars, man. That's the shit stuck in my molars.
Yeah.
This is mine. Okay. Offset thumbsticks or inline thumbsticks on your controller? What do you like better?
Offset thumbsticks or inline?
Do you like that thumbstick? Or do you like our classic dual
this
shot?
This other thumbstick.
You like these? Oh, I like that. Yeah.
You like that PlayStation. Okay.
PlayStation,
in,
yeah.
Keep that shit in line. Got it.
Yeah, yeah, in line, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the best co-op game of all time?
The Jeopardy music.
These are loaded ass questions.
Gee, you.
Oh my god.
Melting and falling apart right now.
It's like I should have agreed to do this.
That's co-op game, dude. Oh my gosh. Damn. It's so many, but co-op. I'm gonna have to say, okay. Okay, this is probably my favorite. It's a fighting game though, but you team up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to say Melee, like Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Oh, okay,
okay.
Like if you ever watch like some sick doubles tournaments, like you know, it's you two guys or two women or whoever versus two and. The amount of thinking and stuff that you have to do and the mechanics of that game is probably one of the best, like, cooperative. It's between that and Turtles in Time.
Oh, great.
Okay. Turtles in Time, man. Yeah. What Ninja Turtle are you?
Ooh.
Donatello. Oh,
you are my soulmate.
Donatello.
Come on. He's a genius. He's nerdy. He's reliable.
He's reliable. He can fight. Like,
he's loyal. Yeah. He's the full package.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a sharp object. Give me a stick. I'll take care of business.
That's it.
And Corey Feldman. You can't go wrong with Corey Feldman.
Yeah, of course. If you could swim in any liquid, what would it be?
Not water. Oh.
Yeah, aside from water, obviously.
Aside from water, if I could swim in any liquid.
Liquid gold.
Magma's not a... No. Let's see, any liquid.
I mean, it could be like cheese, ranch dressing, barbecue sauce, whatever comes to mind.
Leftover waffle crisp milk.
Your favorite soup.
Oh my god!
Yes.
I'm gonna have to say. Tea. I don't know. Tea.
That's probably good for the skin.
Yeah.
Very good for the skin.
Yeah.
Very calming. Yes.
Herbal tea, something like that. You know, coconut tea.
So I don't know if your characters in Seed have voices. I don't know if that's kind of a thing. But if you could have one actor play the voice of Seth, which actor would you pick?
Oh, man.
Any actor in the whole world.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to go big or go home.
Dang. Man, one actor for Seth. That's tough. I'm gonna have to say,
Oh, we're doing a pass? All right, okay. We'll save for the end.
Man.
I'm not gonna let you forget it.
No. I think I'll have something by then. I'll be in between thinking about it.
All right. You just had some good ass ghetto Chinese food from the place up the block. $5, some pork fried rice and chicken and broccoli.
Greasy stuff.
And you got a little fortune cookie and you bust it open. Mm-hmm. What does it say?
What does that
fortune cookie say?
That fortune cookie tells me, do not conform.
Ooh.
Deep.
Ooh.
Deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Would you rather? Let me think. Would you rather be impervious to fire or impervious to freezing?
Ooh.
Ooh, man. Fire.
For that magma, you want to swim in,
you
right?
You want to swim in, right?
You just want to jump into a volcano.
The game is about cracking the earth. You have some sort of fascination with the earth's core. I get it. It's okay. It's good.
Yeah, because you know, to add on to that, I literally was just with a friend yesterday, and he's a big shout out, Eric. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, but Eric L initial for the last name. He's a big fan of Seed, and he set up a campfire yesterday. You know, I stopped by his place, and it's something about campfire, man, that like,
love it. Yeah.
It's just touches your soul and spirit. And I'm just imagining myself in the middle of a big flame, you know, and just seeing it do its thing. Like,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. So that's why I choose that.
Yeah. So while you're around that flame,
okay,
how do you like your steak cooked?
Mm. How do I like my steak cooked? When I used to eat steak, it was well done, but I have not eaten a steak in like years, probably like 7 to 10 years.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I did that for about 6 years.
That's actually part of the inspiration of Seed is that I started eating vegan.
Mm.
And you know, I've always wanted to grow my own crops and stuff, and that was an element that connected to the whole combat farming.
God, you really don't want to conform then. It's like, I'm gonna go on the grid, get my own farm going, get some crops.
Would you rather be able to get off this planet and find another civilization? Like, you're guaranteed to go out there and find a new alien civilization. Would you rather do that, or would you rather be able to see inside the deepest, darkest places of this planet?
The deepest, darkest place. I would have to go with deepest, darkest places of this planet. Like, you know, like, the places out in the ocean that like they say like you can't go beyond. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, you know, but I have to have the ability to see, though. I gotta be able to like,
no, it's safe, it's guaranteed that you're gonna see it. It's no, there's no issue. It's like,
okay,
you know, like, okay, you can go to the very core of the earth and see what the core is, you know, like, is it metal, is it what, like, we don't know what it is. Is it magma,
is it Lucky Charms,
right? Or would you rather go to the stars and see like some other world that we didn't know existed or whatever. Like, I always found that when I was a kid and people said, oh, we can't go far down the ocean because of the pressure. And then I'm like, okay, right, right. What does that mean? Like, what does pressure mean? Like, why?
Sounds like
why?
Bullshit.
Like, when you think about it, you don't, like, as a kid, you don't understand what they're talking about with pressure. We just think it's like some abstract thing that it just hurts you. And like, when you go in a pool and you go to the deep end and you feel that pressure in your head and you're like, oh, the pressure. And you're like, well, what is that pressure? And then you start, as you get older, you realize, oh, they mean the physical weight of the water crushing your body. That's what they mean by pressure. They can't make submarines strong enough to get to those deepest parts because the literal weight of the earth, water, will destroy that vessel. And that right there is like mesmerizing to me. I don't know why. I've always thought that was fascinating. Like, the actual physical cubic, like, the just the sheer massiveness of the water would destroy you.
To me, it's more like, what can survive down there that would crush
things, Andy?
Would crush things, most things
down there,
right? The Kraken, the Megalodon, you know,
there are, Loch Ness. There are some whales with enough blubber to make it so that they can go down.
Jesus
there.
Jesus Christ,
I guarantee it, man. It's crazy.
I'm getting there. It's quarantine weight. Ain't agreeing with me. All right,
it's coming, Andy. Let's get a one more question from you.
I'll ask one more.
Yeah.
Then you ask. We're gonna go back to when you passed before.
Back to the past. Yeah.
I think I got it.
When was the last time you hugged someone?
The last time I hugged someone was, what's today? It's
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. I think they left. It was Saturday, August 15th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Saturday, August 15th.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a very, very special friend in the community of Lawrence. She very great person that, you know, works for this organization called Lawrence Community Works. And, you know, she like does a lot of great work in the community for like providing housing opportunity for, for like, entrepreneurs and artists in the community. Just all type of things. And, you know, she's really been supportive of Seed and Bare Hand and stuff. And I'm actually house watching for her while her and her son are on vacation. And also it's kind of helping me because I'm trying to figure out my living situation right now.
Mm.
And so, you know, she's just been helpful with that. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Deserves all the hugs, it sounds like. Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah. So, you know, she was going off to vacation. I was like, yeah, I'll take care of the house and give her a hug. And yeah. Okay.
Now, if you think we broke your brain before, first of all, tell us your answer. Who's the actor you want to play Seth? And then we're really going to break your brain with the final question of the show.
Okay. So the actor to play Seth is, I don't know the guy's name. It's the guy who played Miles and Spider-Man.
Oh, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse. Let me see if I can find him. Hold up.
Yeah, I'm awful with actor names. Let's see. Some of my favorite actors, like, I blank.
Spider-Man. Into the Spider-Verse. Miles.
It's a great choice.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Okay. His name is, I think his name is Shameik Moore.
Okay.
Yeah. Shameik Moore. It would be him.
It's Adam right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
yeah. I would go with him for Seth. At first we were like, when we started off with Seth, we were like, oh, you know, he might have like a deep voice, you know? So I might've chosen like Michael Jai White, for him, but based on a new design that we have, which we're going to be posting up on our social channels and on the Kickstarter, you know, Chris, the personality that he's given him, and the features, you know, we changed his design and his character. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. So if you thought we broke your brain already, we gave you tough questions. You have no idea what you're in for right now. Like this is the pinnacle of all questions.
Every time.
Anything you could be asked. It doesn't, you can be at the pearly gates of heaven and Peter himself could ask you any question and it will not be as difficult to answer and as confounding and as important as the question we are about to ask you right now.
Okay.
So you got to think about this. And you know what? So the viewers, I'm looking at that camera, but when I come over here, I'm looking directly into your soul. This is
right into your eyes. Just look here.
Okay.
All right.
Here it is. It's a this or that answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Andy or Steve?
Andy or Steve? Andy or Steve?
Or this guy? It's very simple. I got the cat with the mask on, you know?
That sounds like not to pick you.
I mean, I'm going to go with the Steve.
There it is. Another one in the W.
Congrats. You snap like a four podcast losing streak.
It's been a while. I needed that.
I gotta get you on suicide watch if you pick me today.
I needed that win. I needed that win. Anyway, man, this was awesome. It was great to get to know you. I just feel awesome having met you and talked to you and got to know you. And you've got a backer in me. I'm gonna head over to that page and I hope,
that's right. I already backed you. You didn't pick me. Well, see, I should have mentioned that before.
Here's the thing.
Full disclosure, listeners.
Hold on. So Andy, you are on a winning streak. You had the streak.
No. That's fine. It's fine.
The reason is that I usually like to wait till it's a little closer to the end, just to see what's going on. Like,
I don't know. My situation is, if I see it and I like it, I'm not gonna wait. I'm not gonna hesitate.
Yeah, but you had
you get job. Cash money slap on the table.
You had a job, Andy. I just got my job back. Okay, I had to be responsible with it. Dang, man, folks. This has been the Dual Screens Podcast. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you're using only your ears, thank you so much. If you're using both eyes and ears, well, thank you for being here. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, hit that sub button, throw a comment in the thing below, you know, all that fun stuff. And if you want to support us with your hard-earned cash, we have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our two Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. Thank you so, so very much for doing so. We are actually recording the August bonus episode tonight for you to listen. And if you support us for $1, you get into our VIP Discord where we hang out with indie devs and each other. And we just talk all day about nonsense, make fun of each other, and just have a great time. You get to vote on the topic for the bonus episode for each month, and you get the audio of the bonus episode each month. So just $1, you get so much. So go right over $1. We wanted to give a special thanks to Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio for our theme song, Retro Chatter. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. And thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and our logos. And thank you, Edwin, because this was awesome. You were an excellent guest. You were awesome to hang out with. And I want you to tell everybody right now where they could find everything about Seed, the Kickstarter, the company, everything.
All right. you can learn more about Seed on our website, barehand.co. You can also, we have a YouTube channel where we post content. You just type in, search Bare Hand Seed, and you'll see, you know, some of our videos pop up. Twitter, Instagram, they're both called It's Bare Hand, ITS Bare Hand, BareHand. The Kickstarter, you search it up on Kickstarter is Seed, four-player combat farming game, four-player co-op combat farming game. So you find that on Kickstarter.
And that's C-E-D-E. To get all the confusion that
CEDE. That word, we chose that because it's connected to the story. But it's a play on words because you know, you're planting seeds, so you know, I'm sure you got that. and you know, yeah, if you want to hit me up, man, I'm like I said, my keyword for this campaign and just moving forward is connect. So, you know. You want to hit me up? You can hit me up at Edwin, E-D-W-I-N, at barehand, barehand.co. That's my email. So, you know, if you want to chat or, you know, have questions, hit me up. We also have a Discord link on our website that you can click and join in our Discord and, you know, talk to the fam.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. And folks, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at Batchild27 and Andy is at Pants Guy. And that is going to do it for this show. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
I mean, I could announce next week's guest, but you know how it is. It's, again, the Battle Royale. Unless we have the one confirmed that we were talking about recently. But, you know, we'll wait on that.
Stay tuned to Twitter. For an announcement. Anyway, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much, Andy, for joining us. Thank you, Edwin. It was absolutely awesome. You're always welcome back on the show. And thank you, listeners, for checking us out. And as always, please be excellent to each other.
Yes.